And now it's time for Tuesday Reviews Day, our weekly new music segment.
So let me teach you.
Joining me this week is Shirley Halperin, music editor at Billboard Magazine, and music journalist Chris Martins. Hello, you two.
Howdy.
Hi.
All right, Shirley, let's start it off with you.
Well, we're starting it out with a Jonas brother, Nick Jonas, to be exact. He's the youngest of the Jonases, if you don't count the bonus Jonas.
The bonus Jonas? Who would that be?
There's a bonus Jonas. Oh, okay. There's a younger Jonas.
When you pluralize it as a Joni.
Jonases?
I like Jonases. That has a nice ring to it. With the Jonas Brothers, you know, Nick Jonas was part of a group that sold millions of albums. But here on his own, as a solo singer, he has to start over at age 22, which is exactly what he's trying to do with this proper debut. You know, but here's the tricky thing. When you graduate from a boy band, that next step is an all-important one. The direction that
Difficult,
you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the onus is on the Jonas here.
That's right.
Wow. Perfect.
All right, so here's the deal. The Jonas Brothers, they weren't quite bubblegum. They sort of leaned towards the rock side. But that sound is kind of out of favor right now. So what's a Jonas to do? Well, if you're Nick, you start by taking a cue from Marky Mark and
yes.
you get yourself a killer six-pack. Mm.
I've studied pictures.
Have you?
He could use a little bit more work, a little bit more polishing.
Really? Mm-hmm. And I was going to say that, you know, where would you hear the Jonas Brothers if I weren't playing it for you, A? But you would probably hear it at the gym.
Probably. Yeah. That'd be my only spot.
But besides that, you know, he's really following the Justin Timberlake rule book on this one. And I think the song that we just heard, Teacher, really illustrates that sort of as an audio example. The funk is abundant, and it's mostly well done, but, you know, the problem is Nick Jonas, his R&B doesn't quite compare to today's stars in that genre, so that becomes sort of painfully apparent on some songs. You know, quite simply, he just tries too hard sometimes. But then again, I give Jonas a lot of credit because there's a song that we're about to hear called Santa Barbara, which is really beautiful in its simplicity. I mean, it's downright wistful. Take a listen. God's got a bitter taste. I wish that I was in that place. New York City. So far from Santa Barbara. Right?
Yeah, I kind of want to hear this album now.
I was almost going to say, it kind of has that Chris Martin, you know, vibe about it. So I'm glad that you responded as you did.
All right, Chris, what do you got for us?
I've got TV on the radio on the radio. And
you're just full of it today, aren't
you? I
know.
I mean,
come on,
you know,
straighten up and fly right.
I'm sorry. First of all, if I can say hands down, TV on the Radio is my favorite band. And it was very, very tough for me to narrow down the picks for this show. But it's not just because I love them so much. This, their fifth album, Seeds, is by far their most accessible work to date. Every song on here sounds like it could indeed be played on the radio. So let's hear the lead single, Happy Idiot. Stuck in the shade, where there's no sunshine.
And Chris, you wrote a story about them. It's in Spin Magazine.
Yeah, that's right. It's the new Spin Magazine cover. And, you know, like I said, this is the band's most accessible album, and it took me a minute to get on board. But if anybody deserves a victory lap, it's these guys. It's been 13 years of them blazing their own trail. They put David Bowie on an album. They have a song forever embedded in Breaking Bad, the greatest TV ever known. On top of that, you know, shortly after their 2011 album, they lost a member to cancer. They absolutely will not talk about Gerard Smith publicly, which is, it just seems to be some sort of internal pact. All of us journalists are given the warning ahead of time, don't bring it up. And, you know, it's a little frustrating for us fans and for those of us interviewing the band. But I like to think that he's in there somewhere, kind of absorbed into the mix of how these guys do stuff. So let's end on a pretty but sobering song called Test Pilot. We are.
Autopilot, pilot.
All right, Shirley, you're up.
Okay, well, I'm on a bit of an idol worship tip today. That's my theme. But now for an entirely different kind, Bob Dylan. Now, Dylan is always in fashion, but this has been a particularly big month for him. There's the just-released repackaging of the much-heralded Basement Tape bootlegs, which were recorded in 1967 and have circulated in many forms over the years and decades. And now comes a collection called The New Basement Tapes, which features a sort of supergroup taking Dylan's unused lyrics and putting them to music. Heads out.
So is it a supergroup? Is that what we're talking about here?
It's sort of a supergroup. I mean, it has Elvis Costello, for starters. Marcus Mumford from Mumford & Sons plays on it. And Jim James from My Morning Jacket. Taylor Goldsmith from Dawes,
sounds
among
like a
others. It is a supergroup. The matchmaker here is T-Bone Burnett, who spearheaded the project and is putting out the album, which is called Lost on the River, on his own imprint at Capitol Records. Each of the musicians was handed sheets of certain lyrics and put in a room by themselves. And then after 12 days of sort of coming up with music, and Taylor from Dawes described, you know, his first breakthrough as breaking the ice, you know, sort of like wrapping your head around these words that were written 40, 50 years ago. And they were put in separate rooms, but then they all came together and in 12 days recorded 50 songs. Wow. And about 14 made it onto the album. And it is a really, really fantastic album.
It was sad to see it. That little lady going in, arrested for arson. Once they'd asked her where she'd been, down on her knees, not even a breeze, another victim of the heat. 6 months in Kansas City, down on Liberty Street.
Chris, what do you have for us next?
All right, so we're going to go out on a weird one. We've heard a lot of beautiful music, and now I'm going to mess that all up with a guy named Mr. Wazzo. This dude is a one-man audiovisual department. His fame is far outpaced by a puppet that he created 15 years ago. Some listeners might recall a little yellow dude goes by the name of Flat Eric. He was a techno-loving Henson collaboration who appeared in a series of cult-adored Levi's ads. But dance geeks know that Wazzo's been busy since, and his fifth album, The Church, is out today on Brainfeeder, which is a label run by our local electronic music guru, Flying Lotus. So let's hear a playful little ditty, ironically titled Mass Doom. Wazzo, the song that he made for Flat Eric, Flat Beat, it sold over 3 million copies abroad in 1999 in 3 weeks. And then he had a second life with the same crew responsible for that band Justice, if for those who remember. And now he's getting increasingly and awesomely far out, in my opinion, awesomely, which is par for the course for a guy who made a slasher flick about a homicidal car tire.
Okay.
That's Rubber is the name of that, if you care.
Nice.
So in pace with that, let's go out on a darker cut. This song is called Torero.
Reminds me of my rave days back in Long Beach, 1990.
Nice.
Way back then.
He was probably raving then, too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Music journalist Chris Martins and Shirley Halper, music editor at Billboard Magazine. Thanks a lot to you both.
Thanks, Ike.
Thank you.